The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
And good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services and Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. And say good morning to our listening audience at WTBQ.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It's always great to be here. I still feel the energy. I never get tired. I know it's a new year. Happy New Year. But I still love the energy when I walk into WTBQ. We got a great show for today, but let me tell a little bit about A&T Healthcare. We're a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. Our corporate office is in New City, New York. And as I always say, we at A&T Healthcare are very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. We're never controversial, contentious, or confrontational, but we are engaging, informative, and I always want to say we want to be entertaining. That's why we're here. We want you to learn something, but we want you to enjoy it as you're learning it, okay? We do accept any questions or comments that you may have on the show, and the number that can be reached is the 845-651-1110. You notice I'm saying 1110, and I'm doing that much better than instead of 1111. I was saying four ones or two ones
or something like that.
Yes. 1110, that's... It's one of the things how I'm adopting.
You're finally coming along.
I'm coming along about time. First, when we get started, I want to say that A&T Healthcare, we do have our classes scheduled for the first quarter. When I say the classes, this is if you're interested in becoming a personal care aide. It's a wonderful profession as far as starting out. If you want to pursue the healthcare field, what I always say is that there is no charge for this. However, you must be interviewed, and we want to look for people who are dedicated. We want to know people that have a desire to care for someone because, as I always say in this program, it does take a person with unique qualities and attributes in order to be a good personal care aide. I think I can share a little bit of that with my hospitalization that I had.
Yes, I was your very own personal care.
That's right. You were doing it, and you were doing it. Call our corporate offices. We have offices in, as I said, New City, Newburgh, Kingston, but it's all set for the first quarter of 2016. Yesterday, Ann, I spoke to the graduating class, the nursing class of RCC with Sister Buckley. It was a lot of fun, and I have another idea for a show. Sister Buckley's going to be on, and we're going to be talking about a recent graduate. As I said, you and I both graduated from Rockland Community College. I graduated in 1983, which I was surprised, and they looked at me like this. And I'm sure it's a lot different when I went to nursing school, and you went to nursing school, as to what they did. So I thought that would be like a very good perspective. So we're going to be that's going to be one of our future shows that we will be scheduling. I know we had that little joke about the hoverboards that are going on. I said about they're extremely dangerous. I mean, and said if you're ever injured, please, you can go to A&T Healthcare, providing home healthcare services. That would be good. But I realized it could get even worse than that. The other night, Anna and I, we were out in the evening, and there was someone that was using a hoverboard in the nighttime, and it had like two blue lights on it. And I said, boy, if he didn't fall off and get hurt, he would get hit by a car because it was just like absurd. But please be careful with that. You know, if you fall and hit your head, you get a traumatic brain injury. Those are the things about it. I know we make jokes about it, but it really isn't. I want to do a lead-in for our show, Ann. I want to do a lead-in. I wanted to talk about Coach Tom Coughlin from the Giants. No, we're not changing the format. This is Health Matters.
I think you're changing the format.
No, this is Health Matters. But I do have to comment on Tom Coughlin just in regard to he resigned as the coach of the Giants. And one of the things that he was the oldest coach in professional football. And one of the things that they never actually said it, but they inferred it in the context that, well, he was too old. That he, I believe he was like 70 years old, and that he was too old.
Old to what?
Too old to be coaching.
Oh, really?
And one of the things that we've always said on Health Matters is the importance of a healthy lifestyle, to be engaged and doing something now. will help you later on in life. And as we always say, it doesn't mean you have to start right now, but that you can start right now. And also, well, it's too late now, but there's always something that you can do. I remember they gave the example, they said if Derek Jeter had bat 250 when he was 25 years old, they said, well, gee, he had a bad year, but if Derek Jeter batted 250 and he was 40, well, gee, his career is over with. And that's kind of like what the analogy that they were talking about.
I hope that that's not the only analogy that people
They were doing. Also, we all know about the presidential race. I mean, Donald Trump is 69 years old. I know when he got a doctor's report, his doctor said he's the healthiest man, I think, in the United States. Hillary Clinton is 68 years old. Bernie Sanders is 74 years old. So these are all people that are doing it. And I have to go back to 1980, okay? Ronald Reagan, he was in a debate. I'm stealing the thunder from the Three Amigos, but Ronald Reagan was in a debate with George Bush, and he was 69 years old at the time of Ronald Reagan. And the question that they asked was to George Bush, do you think that Ronald Reagan is too old to be president? And George Bush hesitated, and he goes, no, I don't. And then they said, Mr. Reagan, do you want to comment on this? Oh, yes, I agree with George Bush, absolutely. But it just shows you as far as like how things have changed so much. We're not even talking about the age factor and stuff like that, but it really comes down to having a healthy lifestyle. Having said that, we want to make sure, and this is what our show is, we're going to be talking about, we always talk about the quality of life, and one of the ways that we're able to do this is many times you may require surgery, such as a total knee replacement, which I just had on December 1st, but we're going to have a call in from my what would you call him? He was my roommate. When he had a hip replacement, we're going to have another person from Beth Israel. He is the chaplain, Chaplain Paul Richter, who will be also joining us. But
Rickert.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying it
that's okay.
Correctly. But
we're used to you messing up everything.
but the key thing is, as far as like with a total knee replacement, I had one 15 years ago. And a lot of this stuff has changed, and that's one of the things that we always say about A&T Healthcare, as I'm the director of education, is that the technology is always changing. You have to be right into it in the sense that you have to know about the changes that are taking place and making sure that you're doing the absolute best. But I just know I did have Dr. Susan Sobel from A&T Healthcare, and I just want to just share a little bit of my experience, which I had, with my total knee replacement. I think the easiest thing about when you're having a knee replacement is that the surgery is actually the easiest part, if you can believe it, because a hospitalization many times is quite short if it's uneventful, and uneventful is a good word to be saying. But I was only in the hospital for 2 days, and one of the things that I've been saying continuously on the show is that the healthcare delivery system paradigm has shifted. It's changed because now you're in the hospital for a short period of time and then you are going home. And I cannot stress enough about how much better my outcome was in the sense that I was discharged so quickly. However, when I was home, it was at that time when I started to receive physical therapy and home care, as far as like a nurse looking at me. It was just so much better in the sense that I was in my own home, I was in my own environment, and I just had, it was just like much better than staying another week in the hospital, and there's just like so many things, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So when we come back, I hope to be hearing from my roommate, should be calling, and then I'll be talking more about what you can expect having a total knee replacement or a hip replacement. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Walt Baby Love. I'd like you to join me on WTBQ every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. for praise and worship. I'll give you the phone number to the Faith phone line on Gospel Tracks with yours truly. Who? How about Walt Baby Love?
Hey, everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and, of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
All right. Feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. Andy, you feeling all right? I'm psyched with the new year and all that's happening. Are you listening to Health Matters? My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services for A&T Healthcare. Dan, I believe we have a caller on the line. Good morning. It's Peter Fella from A&T Healthcare on Health Matters. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Peter. Sal DiCostanzo out of Staten Island. I was your roommate over at Beth Israel.
Oh, Sal, thank you so much for calling. I just started talking about it. This is a great show. I just started talking about having a total knee replacement, and I know you had the hip replacement. One of the things that I always talk about in life is that you have different people that you encounter at different times, and I know we were in the preoperative room at Beth Israel, and then we wound up being roommates, but I really connected with you for the short period of time and your family, I know your father and that sort of stuff. And I remember talking, I said, I just had an idea. I'm always thinking about getting a good show. But that's part of how I know Sal, just that it was random. He was my roommate. We connected. And I thought what would be good is I was just starting to say, Sal, one of the things that I had a total knee replacement. I know you had the hip replacement, but one of the indicators is people say, well, gee, when should you get the knee replacement? And I always say, and I guess you can comment on this also, is that I've always felt that if it starts impeding your quality of life, if you say, gee, I don't want to go to my grandchild's this, or I don't want to, you know, go to the park, and you're not doing it because of the discomfort, that should be a trigger that maybe you might want to do it. What precipitated you, Sal, as far as, gee, you know, I have to do something with my hips?
Yeah, well, Peter, to tell you the truth, so I don't know if you know, but I had a bilateral hip replacement.
Yes, very unusual.
Two hips at once. And what precipitated it for me, it actually started months ago, okay? Couldn't put on my socks anymore.
Oh, boy.
Couldn't tie my shoes. Luckily, I have a good wife.
Caregiver. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Luckily, I had a good wife who did those things for me. But then it became a problem when I was driving for a long period of time. I would start to get cramps and all kinds of pains. And, you know, it became almost unbearable. So I decided to go to the doctor who actually did my knees about 8 years ago. I had two total knee replacements years ago. And I know we talked about it when you were in the hospital. You played ball when you were in high school.
Yes, glory days.
I played a little ball. And, you know, those are the type of things that precipitate these types of injuries and cause you to get these replacements. Unlike in the old days when you just didn't have the, technology out there or whatever you want to call it to do it, and you just limped along for the rest of your life.
Right, or you ended up in a wheelchair, maybe.
Yeah, well,
this is my wife, Ann. I'm sorry. I didn't know we talked yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Good, Sal. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear. You know, luckily, we have things out there that can help us nowadays. So, anyway, I went to the doctor, and sure enough, my left hip was totally bone on bone.
Wow.
And within 2 months, my right hip became bone on bone. Mm-hmm. So, when I spoke to the doctor again, he's like, we're going to do both hips, not just one. So, I was a little bit skeptical of doing the both hips, but I can tell you now, almost 6 weeks later, it's the best thing I did in my life, even more so than when I did my knees.
Wow.
It's a very minimal pain-wise operation. And as I said, you know, it was two hips, not one. So, But, you know, what precipitated me, obviously, was not being able to put on my shoes, not being able to put on my...
And that's serious. So what was it? Yeah. I know you stayed an extra week. Can you tell me, like, the difference? You stayed an extra week at Beth Israel, and then you were discharged, and then you had the home care. Could you tell us the difference, the transition? Because, as I said, A&T Healthcare,
get to meet because the day that I came,
Sal
had just been moved to another unit, so I was never got to actually meet.
But you stayed a little week later, and then you had the home. You tell us about the difference between having it in the hospital and then when you were at home.
Right. So having done both hips, I qualified for sort of in-house physical therapy after the surgery. They didn't send me home. Like you went home after your knee replacement.
Yes,
I had one knee replacement.
Yep, that's right.
I went to an in-house physical therapy unit where they give you some occupational therapy as well as physical therapy. It's pretty intense. On the physical therapy side, for someone, you know, who's just had both hips replaced. But on the occupational therapy side, you know, it's not the things they teach you, how to get into a bathtub and, how to do stairs. It's not like being in your own home, right?
Oh, because boy, absolutely.
That bathtub is not like the bathtub you have at home. You know, the bathtub they teach you in the hospital is about, you know, 12, 14 inches high,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the bathtub I have at home is about 2.5 feet high because I have a deep tub, and, you know, they teach you things that it's just not like going to your own home.
That's right.
And knowing your surroundings and, you know,
I know that was the one thing, Sal, like they asked me, they said, Peter, you have stairs? Of course I have stairs. Downstairs, I have to go down to my man cave. I have to go upside. And then they said, when you're going downstairs to your the TV room, the audio room, whatever you want to call it, I said, what side is the handrail? And I knew I didn't have it on both sides. There was one. And I couldn't answer the question. I absolutely did not know. Is it because they were going to then help me walking up the little fake stairs that they have, like right there in the PT? And that was just like a classic example. And I always said that when Dr. Sobel was taking care of me, they were my stairs. And she's doing, you turn on the light, that like she... Even just even the downstairs bathroom, there's a little step up. It's like you had to think through everything.
Well, Peter, one thing I want to tell your listeners is if you're going to have a major surgery, knowing what's in your house, be aware of your surroundings at home and what you need to do once you get home, because it's really important. In my case, like I said, I had my knees done 8 years ago. I actually added a second banister to my staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Before I did my knees 8 years ago, because I knew coming home, I would need to go upstairs 14, 15 steps, and I needed the two banisters.
Wow.
So, being in the hospital doing physical therapy and then coming home, it's a whole different ballgame.
I mean, it really is, and I have to say this, Sally. A&T, that's what they do. Before, when we open up a case, the nursing supervisor comes and she surmises the entire house. Like, let's say if there's a little run in the carpet that's been there forever, if you're coming back with a walker or a cane, that could in fact become an obstacle.
But it's not even that.
Sure.
Even your
that
every
you.
Right.
It Go ahead, could, Ann, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It's hard on the radio because you're not here, so I over the phone. But even for us, just thinking about where the light, turn on the light, you know, when you're going down the hallway or down the stairway.
Yes,
you're
yes,
not even,
yes.
like, thinking of those things. So.
Right, right. Like, for me, my biggest fear was, you know, I could say it on the radio, I think it's a lot, was going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my house, I have three bathrooms. One is in the basement, one is on the main floor, and one is upstairs. But the one that's upstairs is actually the only one that is a little higher than the other two.
Exactly.
So I would have to, I knew I had to go upstairs, you know, if I had to go,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
And that was my biggest fear. You know, luckily, with the physical therapy that they gave you in the hospital and, you know, the little knowledge that they put in your head, you know, I was able to get upstairs pretty easily and do what I have to, you know, do what I had to do.
But you're right, you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because, I could not have gone to the bathroom on the main floor because having done the hips, it was too low for me to sit down on.
That's right. Yes. No. I know they have adaptive things that are available, and that's really where the physical therapist comes in. But you have to have it for your particular bathroom.
Right, and that's something I didn't think of before I went in, and maybe that's something, as Ann had said, AT&T Healthcare does beforehand. I'm not sure. But certainly, that's something you have to think about.
You do. You don't think about a lot, like a chair to sit on.
Yeah.
You know, all the chair. Most of our chairs are lower, so we had to actually take one of our dining room chairs and bring it to the bedroom so that Peter could.
Because the other one was a rocking chair.
A higher chair to sit on. So.
Yeah, and I actually had to go out and rent one.
Okay.
From a medical supplier.
No, and that's good. And you did have your physical therapist who was involved. And that's part of it. Like, they really have to be part and parcel to when you're getting this adaptive equipment. I know it's Dr. Sobel did that with me. Peter, we need this. This was the other thing. I have to say this, Sal, like you're touching on, it is very humbling because it's like when you have a procedure like this, and please, as I said at the beginning of the show, is that it really comes down to your quality of life, okay? Is that I don't want to ever discourage anyone. Gee, I can't do this. I hear Sal and Peter talking on Health Matters. Why would I want to do it? But it really comes down to it's much better outcome later on in life. Is that, but it is very humbling in the sense that it's almost like you have to learn how to do things over again. Like even putting on my shoes, it's like, I remember it took me like 10 minutes to put them on. But once I got it down, then I knew how to do it. But each day I get better when I increase my range of motion in my leg. It's becoming better and better as they said from the physical therapy.
Right.
Sal, you've come a long way. So you had the surgery the same day as Peter. You had the inpatient rehab. Then you had home care.
Right. The home care was, I have to say, it's folks that come out are called the visiting nurses of Staten Island.
Right.
And they're very, very good. They help you a lot with, you know, the basic stuff. They give you some basic exercises to do. And it does help a lot, but I have to tell you, Monday was my first day of going to outpatient therapy.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And what a different world it was for me. I got to tell you, yesterday was Tuesday, and I was able to do very little because I was in such pain from what I was put through in the outpatient therapy. They really work you hard, and, you know, for instance, now if I walk without, I walk with two canes. If I get rid of them, I kind of wobble from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy at the outpatient therapy said, that's why you're here, to get rid of the wobble.
To get
rid
of that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The home care is great, but they don't worry too much about that wobble. You know,
yeah, they're getting you stronger just to get to the next step.
Yeah, they want to get you stronger, and they want you to be able to move around. The girl that I had was very, very nice, and she did take me outside, and, you know, we walked around the block several times every time she came. You have to do the outpatient therapy as well.
Right. You know? But even like the other thing that you were saying, this is a big thing, is that you're from Staten Island, and again, it was at Beth Israel Hospitals and forth, and it was so hard. Really, and thank you so much for coming up. But it's very hard for your family to see you and coming and going. I mean, that's a major thing. Like when you're home and you're in your environment, and it is just like so much nicer. And as much as you don't sleep when you're in the hospital, I'm sorry.
No. I certainly did not sleep for the 7 days that I was downstairs in the physical therapy unit.
Wow.
It's just not the same, right? You come home, you know your surroundings. If you hear a little noise, you know where it's coming
from.
You know
what it is.
In the hospital, you don't know what that little noise is. I was sleeping next to a window, and all I heard was garbage trucks all night, picking up the garbage, and you never sleep. You never sleep. I was lucky to have you as a roommate for a couple of days. I was not so lucky downstairs my roommate was a little bit older, and he was up all night long. I don't know where this guy got his energy, he was up all night long, and you know, he was also someone who couldn't communicate well with the nurses. Right.
How's your father doing? Let me say something about how old is your father? Because we were talking about that at the beginning about the age and everything. How old is your father?
My dad will be 86 in 2 weeks.
86 in 2 weeks. What happened was I was struggling to to open up the orange juice. I was struggling. I couldn't do it. Your father saw me doing it. He came over. He was having trouble, but he was very resourceful. He had a pocket knife, punctured a little hole in the aluminum thing, struck the straw, and I was good to go. And I thanked him, but I mean,
very innovative.
How humbling. I couldn't open up the orange juice. He knew I was struggling.
Yeah, you know, I think the older people are much more resourceful.
That's right. I agree.
They are. I mean, my dad's carrying that knife for as long as
it worked like a charm. But that's one of the other things. Open up the orange juice, you know, with the aluminum foil, and you put the straw, and it worked very well.
Right.
You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we hope to be joined by Reverend Paul Ricker, who's one of the chaplains at Beth Israel Hospital. You're listening to Health Matters.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Jim Mazzetti of Miles Wealth Management. Join me and my guests every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for an hour of the American Dream. And be a part of what made this nation great, right here on WTBQ Radio.
Hey, Polka fans, it's Nat the Cat inviting you to join me for an hour of polka fun each and every Sunday morning. For the very best in polkas, waltzes, and obedics, join us at 10 a.m. for the Natalie Gabala Polka Fun Show, Sundays, and it's all here on TBQ.
WTBQ Weather!
We'll see plenty of sunshine today with our highs getting closer, a little over 40. Tonight it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. We'll head down into the teens. Then for tomorrow, look for sunshine in the morning, some clouds coming in the afternoon. We'll head up into the upper 30s to around 40. Cloudy tomorrow night, we will see the risk of some light freezing rain overnight. We'll head down to near freezing, and then on Saturday morning, freezing rain, then a couple of showers in the afternoon with a high staying closer to 40. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
Morning. This is Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, who is the regional director at A&T Healthcare. We want to remind you that A&T Healthcare, just call up the offices. We are going to be having some PCA, personal care assistant classes, are scheduled for the first quarter of 2016. Call up your local A&T office, or you can call the corporate office at 845-638-4342. Talk about scheduling an interview where we can screen you as far as possibly being enrolled in the class. It'd be a great opportunity to start a career in the healthcare field. Okay, this morning, Salvador, do I still have you on the line?
I'm still here, Peter.
Okay, that's great. Now, I think we have another caller. Welcome to Health Matters. Is this Reverend Paul Ricker?
It is.
Hi, how are you? And you are the chaplain. The chaplain at Beth Israel Hospital. Let me briefly talk about this. We're having a lot of fun. I hope we're allowed to do it and all have all this fun, and we're still laughing about it. But I was just saying, everything was random. Is that you're one of the chaplains when I was in when Sal and I were in the preoperative room. You know, the surgeons are there and the nurses and all this. And all of a sudden, the woman, you know, walks over to me and, oh, hi, the Dr. Castamon. Oh, hi, go ahead. And so I'm with the Department of Pastoral Care. Would you be interested in having someone stop by? And I said, oh, sure, absolutely. So, I mean, they were very much a part of, like, the whole process. And it was funny because I was sitting there before I was being discharged. I said, you know, no one from pastoral care ever stopped by to see me. And it was so uncanny. Then all of a sudden you walked in. And I said, I was just thinking about that. And you said that you did come by. You had met with Sal, but I was sleeping like a baby. You didn't want to wake us up. And all this stuff.
I am so glad Sal was there to back me up on this one. Because that is absolutely true.
Yeah, 100%, Reverend.
Could you, you know, really, and thank you so much. I know you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Could you just tell us something about what exactly, you know, a chaplain at Beth Israel, as far as like what you do, and any of the, like the misconceptions that people may have about it?
Well, what I get most when I come in the room and present myself as the chaplain is this terrified look, and they say, is it worse than I think? That is not at all the case. What I present to our nurses is, you know, if a patient is in physical pain, they often make a pain consult to deal with that. I tell them, we are your spiritual pain consults. Here at Beth Israel and actually increasingly throughout healthcare, there's more of a holistic view of what it means to be sick and to be in a hospital. And there are a lot of issues that have really very little to do with the physical condition that come up. And here at, you know, Mount Sinai Beth Israel, we really want to address those issues. So that is some of what I do. It's less of a religious thing, even though we all have our own religious traditions.
Yes, yes.
It's just dealing with that spiritual pain, you know, the effect on relationships that sickness can cause, the effect on what it means to be me, how we identify ourselves, often changes with illness. Right. And yeah. We are there to help people walk through that.
I know I did say that to you. I said, you know, you feel very, very different when you have surgery like that and with all the electronics and things like that. And it starts to, you know, your own mortality, I want to say, to a certain extent. You start thinking about your own mortality, mm-hmm. You know, being in a hospital, having a procedure and stuff like that. And it was always, like, very comforting, you know, to have this particular service available.
Well, you know, I had my own little bout of surgery recently, a ruptured tendon in my hand, which was all in all a pretty minor, benign thing. But moving from the gurney to the table underneath that light was just flat out scary.
Yeah, you feel like a different person.
Absolutely. You're very vulnerable. Yeah. I think I mentioned to you during our visit that when the first time I ever had surgery, two people visited me. The first, this was at a hospital in Illinois, gave me a letter saying, we're having layoffs, so if everyone's really mad, cut them some slack, which is not what you want to hear before surgery. And the second one was just a little nun about 4 feet tall who took my hand and prayed with me, and I felt so much better.
Oh, that was goodness for her.
Absolutely. So that was actually my introduction to chaplaincy.
Wow. But you know, you're right. I knew exactly what to expect pretty much when Peter was being admitted to the hospital and the surgery. And but that stress on our relationship and our expectation and is he going to be okay, it is there. So everybody goes through that when they're having any sort of procedure, whether it's planned or not planned.
Sure.
So, definitely helps to have somebody come by and...
Right, and I'm sure Sal can tell us all about that as well, since he really did it right.
But Sal, you enjoyed it, right, when Chaplain Paul stopped by?
Yeah, actually, Chaplain Paul stopped by after my surgery, but there was also someone that stopped in before I actually went in to surgery.
Right, it was Kim, one of our chaplains.
Kim, yes. Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, they offered to pray with me, and that was comforting, you know. Kind of just took the edge off a little bit and took my mind off of, you know, what was at hand for a couple of minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is, it's just a comforting thing to have you folks around. And like Ann said, you're very vulnerable at that moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, once your wife or your loved one has left you, you know, mm-hmm. there's really nobody around except the doctor in that operating room.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
you have somebody come around and, you know, that offers to say a prayer with you or just comfort you, and it's a whole new ball game, and mm-hmm. it just, you know, sets your mind in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and always, like,
it was much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Yeah, and it's even like, you know, when people, oh, gee, they're trying to convert you or something, like, you know, it really has nothing to do with that. I mean, this is what's,
no,
you know, world religion, okay, world.
And it's not
I'm looking for a donation, you know, really,
right.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying, and it's just something that, it is like very, and I have to say that at Beth Israel, they were very, I know, Ann, you were able to be in the preoperative room, as well as my daughter, Pamela, was able to be in, and then, of course, Kim was there, but she was very much part of the staff, like, mm-hmm. just like going around, and that was, as Sal said, it was very calming. I mean, this is right before you're having the surgery,
mm-hmm.
and it does. I mean, that's something, you know, just to relax, just to talk, and to laugh, and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
It really does help your psychic, I want to say, beforehand.
Mm-hmm. One of the lines I often use for our more secular patients who are very suspicious that I am going to have a religious agenda is telling them, I promise not to try to convert you or sell you a magazine. And usually that gets me in the room okay.
Oh,
I get it.
Chaplain Paul, you do employee orientation. Tell me what that's involved in, because I was, you know, I forget it. When I did work at Montreal Medical, I do remember the pastoral care, but yeah, I forget what we're, tell me something about that.
Well, really, what we're trying to do is break as many of the myths as possible, to let people know, you know, spirituality is like health. You may have good or bad health, but you always have health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone has spirituality as well. You know, when I arrived here at Mount Sinai Beth Israel, it was very much in silos. You were Jewish, you were Catholic, you were Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of worked hard to break that down,
mm-hmm.
Because increasingly those labels are meaningless to folks. And they still have spiritual pain. So in the employee orientation, along with some of the basic structures, how to get a hold of a chaplain, these type of things, we just let them know how to, you know, as generalists, in a sense, spiritual pain generalists, how they can recognize spiritual pain and how they can then, you know, call us in an appropriate way to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them what we do as chaplains. We have things we're looking for. I'm looking for hopes, needs, and resources when I do my own spiritual assessment of a patient. You know, I will ask, what would make today a good day for you? Just to get mm-hmm. to know them and where their heart's
right.
at.
Yes.
What their needs are. It's amazing, again, to me, how many times those needs have nothing to do with the illness. I'm worried about my pets, you know. Will
yeah,
my mom
yes.
be able to make it in the hospital?
Right.
These types of things. And then resources, their spiritual resources. I'll ask them, what keeps you going? The smart Alex will say Metamucil. but, you know, this is not the first problem they've had.
Well, it is a hospital.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, sorry about that. I hope you gave the proper disclaimers
yes.
before I came on.
Colleen does it for me, chaplain.
This is not the first problem people have had, and they've got personal resources to help them deal with these problems. And I just try to reconnect them to those. And they may be religious. They may be prayer-oriented. They may be biblically-oriented. And as a Baptist, I love that. But they very well may not be. What I get more times than not is the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask them about their family and those connections just to try to keep them strong.
Yeah.
Right.
I know Sal had the biggest family, Sal, and they're all wonderful. They're all your buddy Nick, I know, and
yeah,
all coming by.
You know,
and
my buddy Nick is actually from, he's a friend of mine since the middle 90s, and we met through a cousin of mine real briefly, and I actually wound up hiring Nick to work with me. I'm a Wall Street guy. I do compliance work. and hired Nick back in the 90s, and he worked for me for about 4 or 5 years before moving on, and we've stayed close friends. He actually met his wife while working for me, another one of my peers, and we've stayed very close. Now, the funny thing is, Nick is from up in your parts. He's from Westchester.
Okay.
And for him, it was a lot easier.
We have an office in Westchester,
A&T. It was a lot easier to get to me than it was for my family to get to me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect him to be there every day for me, okay? But, you know, sometimes you need a good friend also, right? Mm-hmm. And he certainly was. He was there every day for me, probably for the first 5 or 6 days. And then I told him, Nick, please.
Yeah,
you know,
it's okay.
Cold gas. You don't have to come down anymore. I'm fine.
And
he was helping me out.
He's probably called me 10-15 times since I've been home.
That's great.
He hasn't been out here because it's just a pain to get out here.
Yeah, that's a
You know, sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. He happened to be there for me, and my family was also very appreciative because. They were comfortable knowing that somebody was there for me.
Right. And it's stressful for them, you know, knowing that they really can't get to you.
Yeah, my wife would call me a couple of times because she had to go to work. Right. She works for the New York City Board of Ed, and I would say, "Don't worry, Nick is here." She's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this guy."
That's right.
You know, but she was very happy and didn't worry. You know, so I'm sure her job. You know, she had a clear head doing her job that day because somebody was there for you.
And I tried to stress that with Ann. I know we've talked, several people were talking about the advantages of home care because it's very hard. I know with Beth's earlier, and I was always worried about Ann driving down, parking the car, all these things. And I said, Ann, I'm fine. And that was one of the things that was a concern. But once we were home, that was it, man. It was great.
Well, the stress level for me went down tremendously once he was home.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure for you, your family as well. And I know, Chaplain, those are probably things that people, you know, talk about. Like, oh, is my family going to be okay? And
absolutely. You know. And it's strange, but you know, what I hear the most of is parking as well.
Well,
but seriously, part of my work is to, make sure, for instance, after a very emotional day, these people get home safely.
Right.
So I always try to ask that and just try to take care of them because we understand some of those logistical difficulties, which seem somewhat trivial talking about them, when you actually have to do them and live with them, it's pretty daunting.
That's absolutely correct. You're listening to Health Matters. Now, Chaplain Paul, are you able to stay on? And Sal, are you able to stay on for the last? We're almost finished. We have another segment, but are you able to stay on?
Be glad.
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Sal and Chaplain Paul and about the recovery process after surgery. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
I hope everyone's feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. This is Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, who's the Regional Director of A&T Healthcare. We have a very unique show today. We have my roommate when I had my total knee replacement at Beth Israel Hospital, Salvatore Di Costanza. I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah,
and also joining us is Reverend Paul Ricker, who is in the Department of Pastoral Care, and we're just having I connected with these two gentlemen when I was in the hospital, and I always say life is about random meetings, and sometimes you really connect. I know I just have to joke about this, Chaplain Paul, is that like Ann and I, know with at Good Samaritan Hospital, Father Brian and Sister Sheila, we connected when both of my parents were ill, and they were hospitalized for extended periods of time at Good Samaritan Hospital. This is in Suffern, and we just connected with Father Brian, and to this day we're still talking with the holidays. I remember at Good Stand we stopped by, and I was told him, I just want you to know this, Chaplain Paul. I said, gee, would you like to be on the radio show? We'd love to talk. Oh, Peter, he has a nice Irish brogue. Oh, Peter, I don't know. I'm very nervous, very nervous. He speaks well in front, but when you hear the radio, so you never know how people, but you're doing fantastic. But may I just ask this a quick question, Chaplain Paul? Why did you become a chaplain? Can you give us some more insight on that?
Sure. When I first came to New York, it was about 21 years ago. I was a director of actually an adult education program that was operating through some local churches. And this is kind of a sidelight. I also worked with AIDS population, which in the early 90s was a very different animal.
I'm familiar with that from St. Clair's Hospital in Manhattan, yes.
And as time went on, just more and more of my own interests and concerns gravitated towards that. Until someone asked me, have you ever thought of preparing to be a chaplain? And I had never even thought about it. At the same time, actually, I started losing my own eyesight, and my own body was betraying me. And I thought, well, hey, this could be a very good fit here in a very bizarre way of I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And now, as someone who's legally blind, I know what it's like to have physical limitations to deal with. And so I went through a very bizarre set of circumstances I won't belabor you with, through four units of what we call clinical pastoral education.
Okay.
Which consists of 400 hours each of 300 hours of clinical work, 100 hours of classwork, and reflective work. I had an MDiv previously, which is a three-year post-grad theological degree, which is required to be a chaplain. And then 2,000 hours of clinical work to write a whole bunch of essays and go before a committee and become board certified. Chaplains are board certified like doctors or other professions. So that was kind of the journey. I worked first up in Yonkers, switching time between palliative care and a behavioral health center, drug and alcohol detox and rehab, before coming here to Beth Israel. Here I have gravitated towards our psych units, which are just absolutely wonderful. The staff is cream of the crop. And so I have kind of, as an extension of working pretty much all my ministerial life with poor and marginalized folks, kind of continued that there along with the general population. So that's a very nutshell view.
And you're doing wonderful. And boy, I tell you, you speak so well. My gosh, it just like resonates. I mean, people always tease me. They say that I have the perfect face for radio. They don't say anything about my voice or anything. But you don't have to laugh that loud, okay?
I'm sorry.
Listen, let me put Sal on the spot. Is that okay, Sal?
Sure.
I'd like you. This is your opportunity. You're live on the radio at WTBQ. We have many listening on us. Is there anyone who you'd like to have a public shout out, who'd you like to thank for all that they've done for you? No, I've been go ahead, just a shout out. I want to thank so and so.
I have to thank my wife.
Absolutely, there we go.
Peter, I've had multiple setbacks over the last 10 years. I've actually, you know, I had the two knees replaced, in one in 2008, one in 2009. And then in 2010, I wound up getting a what's called a pituitary brain tumor.
Oh, boy.
Which was removed. And unfortunately, this year, in 2015, I should say, it actually came back and had some radio surgery done up at Columbia Presbyterian. Now I think it's under control. So for the last 7 or 8 years, my wife has been honestly my rock.
Wow, and, that's great.
You know, she's been a big part of my support system. The folks I work with, I can't thank them enough. I've been at where I work for 42 years now. Hmm. And actually 24 years with the present company, and the remaining.
Gee, I hope they're listening to that. We have streaming online with WTBQ. Come on, we got
to. But I told them I was going to, you know, call in to you today. So maybe they, I don't know what the market, the way it's going today, they may not.
Oh, yes, that's right, that's right. It didn't start off good.
It's not a good day. It's not a good day. They're probably a little peeved that I'm on the radio and they're working hard.
But
certainly the immediate folks that I work with, there's about a dozen people in my group, and my wife are certainly the rocks in my life.
I know I have to say this, you know, and I've said this before now, and I can say it again, Ann. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you've done. Okay. I have to thank A&T Healthcare. They were the one that were providing the home health care for me, and I, second to none, I know Dr. Sobel, I mean, a great, but it was busy. Like, we've been working at A&T for, you know, well over 5 years. But when I was there, it was business. This is what we had to do. But Ann, I do have to thank you so much. Chaplain Paul, is there anyone you'd like to give a shout out to, so that you'd like to thank for something that inspired you, that gave you your career or something like that? Or,
well, you know, as Sal was saying, my wife is high up on the list because she is my eyes at this point.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And my chauffeur and everything else, the way I get on the elevator going to the right floor and the whole nine yards. You know, as well, my dad, I lost him last year. He was in ministry, and he was praying for me behind my back that I would be in ministry as well. I don't think we had chaplaincy in mind, but he kind of sucker punched me into it. But he was a wonderful example, and the voice came from him as well, so I'm glad for that. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's just a privilege to do what I do. I was commenting to a former boss once of, you know, most people around the hospital get paid more than us. Just happened to notice that.
and actually,
she said, yes,
right.
But we're getting paid for something we love to do.
Yeah,
and that is a treasure. So I have been blessed.
And that's true. Even in the nursing profession, really, you got to be careful.
Unfortunately, like the pastoral care department, when they're looking at budget cuts, and I've been an administrator for many years, that's one of the places they always look at first.
And they do.
And you always have to, like, fight for it.
Yeah.
We always
had
to fight to keep our pastoral care department, and because it was so important to the healing process.
Sure. Unfortunately, we're considered a drag on the system because we're not billable to Medicaid.
Right, you're
for
not
our
billable. No.
But it's priceless. But, the service you're doing is priceless, yes.
Well, you'll never hear this much either from a hospital person, but thank God for Joint Commission.
That's right, because they want that spiritual.
They
realize the importance of it, and that is seriously one of the best things we've got going for us.
We always pull the Joint Commission card.
You know, I tell you, where did the time go? I really have to. Sal, Chaplain Paul, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Listen, can we have you again or something? Maybe do a follow up or something like that. Or would you be available? Or?
Love to do that.
Oh, great! That's great. But listen,
great. Thank you.
I want to thank you so much. We're about out of time. All the best. As I say to all our listening audiences, you know, follow us on Facebook, okay? Be friends. We're up to 2,500, which is great. as I always say, stay healthy because your health matters. And to you, your family, and friends, all the best. We'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye now. Say goodbye. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Happy New Year. Okay.